Hello, it's Tuesday, June 29th, and this is the Tantramar Report. You're tuned in to CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick. The CHMA studio is located in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the Treaties of Peace and Friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Meg Cunningham. Here's what's coming up today. Tantramar High School teacher Melanie Ball tells us about the Tantramar Pantry for students in need. SappyFest is holding an all-night infinite variety show at the end of July, and creative director Steve Lamke is excited to go over applications. The Moncton region has one new case of COVID-19, and over 30% of the eligible population has two doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. There is just one new case of COVID-19 today, which is a case in Zone 1, which is the Moncton or Southeast region. The person who tested positive is in their 50s, and the case is currently under investigation. This case is the only one labeled as under investigation on the COVID-19 dashboard. The cases under investigation were cleared over the weekend and were reset at zero before this case. In vaccine news, just over 30% of New Brunswickers 12 and older have received two doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. 77.5% of all eligible New Brunswickers have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. Any New Brunswicker over 12 is still eligible for their first dose if they haven't received it already. Everyone who received their first dose is eligible for their second, as long as the appointment is 28 days after the first dose. New Brunswick will be looped back into the Atlantic bubble tomorrow if all goes according to plan. Until then, New Brunswickers who have two shots as of 14 days ago are allowed into Nova Scotia without self-isolating. Bring proof of vaccination with you before you head to the border. About 4 or 5 years ago, a teacher at Tantramar Regional High School noticed that one of his students didn't have a winter jacket. It was January, and luckily the teacher, Matthew Tozer, had access to some jackets that had been left behind by kids in previous years. But when Tozer got home and told his partner and fellow teacher Melanie Ball about the situation, the two agreed that something had to be done. And that's how the Tantramar High Pantry was born. CHMA's Erica Butler called up Melanie Ball to hear the story of the pantry and how it works to help supply high school students in need in Sackville and the surrounding area.
Melanie Ball, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Tell us about the pantry project at Tantramar Regional High.
Well, it started around 4 or 5 years ago. My partner also works at the school, Matthew Tozer, and he noticed that a student in his class didn't have a winter jacket, even though it was January. And he had a bunch of jacket students had left behind over the years that have tucked away in the back of his classroom. And so he gave one of those to the student without the jacket. And he came home and said, "This is terrible. This just shouldn't be. Like, how can you focus on school and figuring out what you want to do for your future if you're worried about just, you know, freezing to death on the way here?" And I agreed. He was absolutely right. And so we just put our heads together and started thinking about some of the basic things that we thought the students might need here, some students might need here that they didn't have. And so we started off with a little closet and we just put in coats and mitts and scarves and that kind of thing. And then we realized that some of the kids didn't have lunches. So we started a lunch program as well with the help of the Sackville Food Bank and Heather Patterson, who lives in town. And then it just kept getting bigger and our principal gave us a bigger room. And once you start doing this sort of thing, you really see the need. And so it's just been growing and growing every year.
So yeah, these hidden needs. So high school students who need access to healthy food and clothing and I guess other supplies.
Yeah, personal care items like just toothpaste and toothbrushes and soap and that kind of thing. All of those things we stock too, because every student is in a different position in terms of what they need. And sometimes a student will use us once and that's it, just to get them through a rough patch. sometimes we have students living on their own, and we help them with a lot more things. And so we try to be as flexible as possible.
Now, do students, are students able to access the pantry supplies just sort of freely and without, you know, without great fanfare sort of thing? Do they need to apply to you, or do people, can students just come in and get what they need?
Yeah, we wanted to make it as simple as possible for them to access whenever they need it. So it's sort of in a more out of the way part of the school, so not a high traffic area. And all they really have to do is talk to a teacher, whichever teacher they feel the most comfortable with. Doesn't have to be me. And that way, they can quietly and unobtrusively go as often as they need to pick up whatever they have to get.
So, okay, so any teacher can let them in. That's great.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, you mentioned the Sackville Food Bank helping out. Is there sort of formalized funding, or are you relying on donations? How are you keeping it stocked?
That's a great question. I write grant applications for money, and I've gotten money from the town of Sackville before, and from other organizations that donate to us. And we absolutely require donations too. And we sort of talk to people every year about what we do. And we tend to get especially things like coats and outer winter wear and that kind of thing from the generosity of the community. It's definitely something that can't be successful without a close-knit community. And that's sort of what Sackville has.
Now, it's, you know, we're looking at the end of June coming up, and so obviously the pantry won't be accessed over the summer, I'm guessing, or will it?
No, that's true. Once the summer hits, things tend to close down here. But for students who still require help over the summer, we put them in contact with Heather at the food bank, and she is great and a really good resource for them.
Right.
To tide them over until they're back here again.
Yeah. And so right now, I guess you're preparing for the fall, I suppose.
Absolutely. So the biggest need that I saw this year was for fresh food, healthy food, not packaged processed food, which we have a little bit more of. And so a few weeks ago, we put out a request through sort of a parent who used to have students who went here, Natalie Crossman, that we really wanted a fridge so that we could have things like milk and cheese and butter and fruits and vegetables that students could grab along with all the other things they get from us. And through her and her sort of outreach to the community, we managed to get a fridge for the pantry. And so we'll be sort of reaching out to members of the community again in August to sort of start thinking about things that we can get for that. And we have people around, especially people who own farms, who are more than happy to donate and give us fresh fruits and vegetables, which is wonderful.
So you're now equipped with a space and a fridge, and basically you'll start sort of putting the call out in August to restock for the fall season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where we want to sort of hit the ground running a little bit so that we make sure that the students know that we're here and available for them, and that we can be ready to go to help them out so that they can focus on school and thinking about their future, not so necessarily tied up with just surviving in the present.
So if people think they have, you know, either supplies they can donate, or in the fall they may have stuff, how can they get in contact with you?
Oh, that's a fabulous question. The best way to get in contact with me is through the main office at Tantramar Regional High School. Any messages that come through there, make it to me right away. If you're in Sackville and you know Natalie Crossman, which probably will. She also has a fundraising initiative going on right now for us too, and so you can contact us through there as well.
Okay. So Natalie Crossman's fundraising, is that a call for cash donations or supplies? What is she asking for?
Well, the fridge was the big one, but in general, I think she's asking for cash donations and any clothing that people are getting rid of or that kind of thing that that we could stock up with.
All right. Sounds good, Melly. Well, I really appreciate you telling us about this today, and thanks for taking it on and making it happen.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. It's a bit of a passion project for me. It makes me, I mean, on a selfish level, it just makes me feel good to help the students in this way. But also I just like that it gives them an opportunity to be taken care of, I guess.
All right. Thanks so much, Melanie.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
That was Tantramar Regional High School teacher Melanie Ball speaking with Erica Butler last week. Sappy Fest will look a little different this year, and one of the new events to look forward to is an all-night variety show coming in late July. Creative director Steve Lamke is heading Sappy Fest Infinite Variety, which will feature performers of all kinds showing off their talents in Strutt's Gallery and Fawcett Media Center on Lawrence Street. To account for COVID-19 restrictions, if any, the event will be live-streamed so fans from around the world can tune in safely. Here's Steve Lamke introducing the project.
Sappy Fest Infinite Variety will be a hopefully 28-hour online broadcast variety show presented by Sappy Fest in partnership with Strutt's Gallery. Mm-hmm. And it will involve musical performances, artistic performances, workshops, and comedy, and skits, and all sorts of things. We're really trying to, we're treating this as a community presentation, you know, and so trying to engage as many artists and members of the creative community here as possible to work on a project together and send it out into the world.
Yeah. I'm curious about the choice to do it for 28 hours.
The very bad choice to do it for 28 hours. The idea with 28 hours is we'll start on Friday evening, Friday, July 30th.
Yeah.
So there'll be an evening program of a variety show, like which will involve music and other sorts of performances. And then we're just going to continue on and into the late night, evening, overnight. So, and then again, sort of the next day, and then we'll finish with another evening performance, sort of on the Saturday evening. So, I'm imagining we'll start. We're kind of thinking 7 p.m. you know, on the Friday, and then go through until like 10 or 11 the following evening. So that's the. That's how we arrived at that number, but kind of not necessarily inspired by, but using as a frame of reference, like the old public access television telethons, you know, we're not raising money. We're not asking people to call in and donate money, but that was like a model of a, you know, community presentation that was sort of durational over a long period of time. So, and then also, obviously, things like Nuit Blanche or overnight arts festivals kind of can become a model for this. And I think as we started to talk about it, it became like really exciting. Like different things can happen and different sorts of presentations and different kinds of art can make sense or in different times of day, you know, or there's different freedoms in different times of day. So the durational aspect kind of became part of it. And so like maybe somewhat surprisingly, but in the conversations I'm having with artists so far, and we're still very much in the process of programming this, and our call for submissions is very much open. So we can talk about a bit more about that after. But in the conversations I'm having so far, like a lot of artists are really excited about doing something like in the middle of the night, like it does trigger like a sense of freedom or like sort of possibility. So I just think that's really interesting to to engage with and sort of try to foster.
Also, I'm curious about the choice to do a variety show as opposed to strictly music.
Well, we Sappycast is always quite interdisciplinary. You know, we've for a long time had a literary sort of component that we really commit to year after year, but we've also like had performance artists, and we've, you know, done installation art, and we've done dance programs a couple years ago. So that sense of engaging with different art forms is definitely part of our thinking on any year. Mm-hmm. The idea with the variety show is just to sort of push that even a little bit further and also allow a lot more participation, you know, from different creative people in this community and in this region. We are known as a music festival, I think, primarily, and like that has been a focus in a lot of ways. But yeah, like I say, this is just a chance to sort of further blur those boundaries, I'd say, between different kinds of art and kind of put everything on the same stage. Like that's always really interesting to me as a programmer, like give everybody sort of equal stage and equal presentation.
If somebody were to be listening and is considering doing it but is worried that their act might not count, is there any sort of exclusion, or is there any sort of basically who can apply for this? Is there any limit on that?
You know, we're doing this live from Struts Gallery, streaming the variety show live. So if anything's too involved technically, like there will be legitimate obstacles there. But I would still encourage any interested parties to contact us and see if we can figure something out together. Like that's where we'll be approaching all of this in the spirit of trying to make everybody's idea work as much as possible. But you know, it is a small team in a small space, and obviously with the variety show, one thing will be following the next quite rapidly. So if technical needs are too extreme, then we might have to not accommodate that kind of presentation. We have an application form, which is quite simple and quite straightforward, and the easiest way to access that is probably at sappyfest.com, and it's right there on the first page. There's this sort of little blurb about the thinking and the ideas behind the variety show, and then a link to the form. And like I said, the form is very straightforward and should be easy to fill out. And if there's any issues there, there's a contact email as well.
The application Lamke is talking about will be available on chmafm.com as well. Just look for this story on Community News and you'll find the link. That's all for the Tantrum Arc Report today. Get in touch with any leads, tips, or feedback at news@chmafm.com. I'm Meg Cunningham. Thank you for listening.